If you have your Bibles just for a moment, would you open them please to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter number 6. And I want to apologize. I did miss a senior, one of our high school graduates, Andrew Farmer. Andrew, where are you? Would you stand please? Where are you? Andrew, would you stand? Here's another senior graduating from high school. Thank you so much. God bless you. Good. And some of you said, we didn't receive graduation announcements. They'll be glad to mail you one if you send them a gift, I guarantee you. And don't miss out. So Galatians chapter number 6. And if you have a cell phone, if you'd be so kind to turn it on vibrate. If you're a teenager tempted to play video games or scroll through your photos during church, please overcome the temptation. Put your phone up. Get it out of your hand. And this is priority. Here we go. So Galatians chapter 6 and one verse, verse number 14. Paul is writing this great church. This is Paul, who had written 13 books of the Bible. Paul, who had brought the gospel to Europe and Asia, who had been shipwrecked, stoned, and survived, who saw the gates of heaven in a vision. This is him that's writing. And he says in Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross, that means except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. If anyone could have boasted or gloried, it would have been Paul. If anyone could have said, do you know what I've done? But he said, I have nothing to glory in. It's all about that cross. Amen. And I want to speak on that subject for just a few moments. It's all about that cross. Heavenly Father, we ask that you meet with us this moment. Focus our attention upon thee, thy words. I pray that you would bind Satan so that not be a distraction. We would not be a distraction. Others would not. That we could focus and not be led down another path. Open our hearts to the truth. Encourage thy people. In Jesus' name, amen. Four times it's detailed throughout Scripture, the crucifixion. It must be important. Jesus is called the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the earth. It's got to be important. It's the reason for the church. It's the reason we're here this morning. It's the reason for Christmas. It's the real reason for Easter. It's the reason we have pictures of missionaries on the backboard that have left America to go preach. They've gone to preach about the cross. It's the driving force behind our bus ministry. It's the reason I moved here 37 years ago to California. It's all about the cross. It's more than just a religious symbol. It has become the icon of Christianity. It's more than just two pieces of wood. It's the greatest event in human history. The cross. It's where God kissed humanity. It's the base where we're safe in the game of life. It's the safest spot for a sinner to be while judgment is falling. It's a place for healing wounds that we have caused and healing wounds that others have caused on us. It's the summation of every lesson we need for life. It's the filter to help you focus during the confusing times of life. It's a compass pointing us to get us back on track. It's a huge positive in a very negative society. We're talking about the cross. I gave out a gospel tract at a high-end restaurant I took my wife to recently called Taco Bell. And as we planned a very intimate, sweet, and special evening at this restaurant, going through the drive-thru, I handed the teller a gospel tract, and here's what he did. Never met the guy. He did the sign of the cross, and then kissed his hand. Where do they get that? It's something special worldwide where people would think about the cross. The cross, betrayal, denial, lies, beaten, arrest, crowned, beard, spit, whipped, mocking, thieves, nails, thirst, and hell. Alas, and did my Savior bleed? And did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I can be happy all the day. It's at the cross. Amen. Fellow friend that's struggling, you need the cross. Amen. Unsaved person, you need the cross. Backslider that's drifted away from the Lord, all you need is the cross. Married couple that's struggling, you need the cross. Teenager that's rebelling, you just need the cross. College student that's wondering, you just need the cross. It's the cross, the great additive to life. I hear voices at the cross. He saved others. Why don't he save himself? But I hear another voice. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Let's gamble for his clothing. I hear another voice. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. It is finished. The worst of humanity gathered around the greatest that heaven had to offer. What did Jesus see on the cross that day? He saw women weeping. He saw Judas hanging. The earth shaking. The soldiers gambling. The mob growling. The sky darkening. Rocks breaking. Mother watching. Religious strutting. Blood dripping. Thief confessing. The cross crosses out your past. You say, Pastor, but you don't know who I am and you don't know what I've done. You don't know anything about my past. God knows all about it, and the cross crosses it out. He who was rich became poor that we through his poverty might be made rich. The cross speaks. Several actions took place at the cross. It speaks. What's it speak? Love. Unconditional love. He loves you not because of who you are and what you've done. He loves you because that's who he is. God is love. For God so loved, it's an action word, the world that he gave his only begotten son. The cross speaks grief. He's despised and acquainted with grief. Yesterday we did almost our 500th funeral here at the church. Yesterday, people said goodbye to someone that they loved. They said, I'll see you later. There's grief. And Jesus says, I understand it. Because God up in heaven says, that's my son on the cross. He's dying for the world. He understands all about grief. He wept bitter tears. He knows. What is the cross speaking? Forgiveness. Father, forgive them. He was saying that as they were spitting, as they were nailing the nails, as they were laughing. He didn't wait till they apologized. He forgave, even though they never knew how much they were hurting him. God speaks. If God can forgive those that crucified him, maybe you and I could forgive someone that unfriended us. It speaks suffering. No one ever suffered like Jesus Christ. Some of you are physically suffering a pain that never goes away. He understands. Some of you are suffering today emotional pain from the past or the way you were raised. God says, I understand. Some of you are suffering some spiritual pain and you're away from the Lord. He says, I understand. The cross speaks. Speaks bitterness. It speaks rejection. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. rejected by a mate, rejected perhaps by a father, rejected maybe by a friend, rejected by people that used to be close to you, and reject, you're just a reject, just thrown away. Jesus says, I understand. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, despised and rejected. The cross speaks. It speaks forsaken. They all forsook him and fled. His disciples, though all men forsake you, we won't. And when he got arrested, they all left him. You ever have people walk out on you, forsake you? Jesus understands. Scrutiny. While he was on the cross, they said, that man said, they had written down his words as he preached, they had written down his sayings as he spoke and taught, and then twisted them, turned them into lies to make him look like a liar. He understands. Has your name been maligned? Have people gossiped about you? Have people said things about you that weren't true, and you couldn't stand up and try to straighten the story out? The cross speaks. It speaks about submission. Jesus knelt in the Garden of Gethsemane and said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. If this is your plan, the cross, I've got to suffer hell for everybody. Bring it on. And some of you right now, you're facing a Gethsemane or facing a Calvary maybe in your life. And the cross says, submit. Reconciliation. On the cross he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When the sins of the world were put on Jesus, God the Father turned his back on him. He could no longer be close because God is holy. Now Jesus became sin for us. Why? He was trying to reconcile or rebuild that relationship from us to God so God could be close to us. And if God can reconcile you to him, he can reconcile you to somebody else. God is the great matchmaker. My mom and dad were like this. When daddy came to the cross, they were like this. God restored the marriage of my parents because of the cross. It's powerful. Responsibility. The cross says, be responsible. Jesus is bleeding. He looks out. He says, Mom, John's going to take care of you. John, you take care of Mom. On the cross, he's not thinking about himself. He's thinking about what he's supposed to be doing. The cross speaks possessions. It said all he had was a coat. And they gambled over it. So our Savior, the most important thing in his life was not things. I'm going to say it again, folks. We're leaving it all behind. Your car, hate to tell you, whoever owns this, whatever this is, I'm sure it's used, whatever it is. But whoever owns this, it's going to burn one day. It's going to rust one day. It's going to be at a garage sale one day. All these things we're leaving behind. You never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. Hey, George is taking it all with him. Look at that. He's taking it to heaven. It's not going to happen. Possessions. The cross speaks, there is a hell. Contrary to what the Jehovah's Witnesses try to tell you, there is a hell with fire that lasts forever. If there's no hell, God would not have sent his son to die that tormental pain for us. If we could earn heaven by baptism, no need for the cross. If you could earn heaven by your good life or being a certain religion, no need for that cross. But there was no other way. We could not earn heaven. It had to be paid for. It was the blood of Christ, the only thing that would pay the debt, and he did. Christ paid a debt I could not pay. I owe a debt I could not. Anyway, you'll have to buy the song because I've already messed it up. The cross speaks. I want to hurry and say this. The cross gives hope. I love the old story. I've told it in recent days. William Cowper fought depression much of his life. Decided to end his life with a great big butcher knife. He started to plunge it into himself and the handle broke. Freak accident. He decided to die by strangulation. The rope broke. He decided to walk over to the lake that was icing over in the wintertime, dive in and freeze to death and drown. Someone saw him struggling in the water, dove in and saved him. Three tries. He wrote a song that goes like this: God moves in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. He also wrote this song. Are you ready? After he gave his heart to Christ. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. That was a man that had no hope. He was hopeless, but because of the cross he had hope, and he wrote many hymns before his passing away. Number next, the cross speaks. Number two, the cross summons. What do you mean, Pastor? It summons. It brings people together. There's people here today. You would have never met anybody, any of these people, except for the cross. Some of you, there's educated here, there's uneducated here. There's people who've never got a traffic ticket. There's those who started when they were in junior high school. There's those who've never been incarcerated. There's those who've been more incarcerated than you've been out. There's those who've done this and those who've never done this. Guess what? God has looked across this mass of humanity and said, I'm summoning you. Come to the cross. School teacher, come to the cross. Business teacher, come to the cross. Gang member, come to the cross. Addict, come to the cross. Drunkard, come to the cross. Runaway, come to the cross. Come to the cross. He says, I don't care who you are and where you've been. Come. He summons. He wants me. He wants you. He loves you. He died for you. He rose again. He made you for himself. The cross summons. Not only that, the cross satisfies. I don't know what you've tried to fill that emptiness in your heart. Is it money? Did it satisfy? Well, if I had just a little more, Pastor. Is it things? Did it satisfy? Ask the billionaires how they're doing. Is it notoriety and fame? They spent their whole life to be noticed. Then they have to wear shades so no one notices them. What is it you've tried to fill that emptiness with? Money, fame, relationships? Well, I'm sure the next one's going to be better than this one. It's out of the fire, into the frying pan, and back and forth. No one can satisfy the emptiness in your heart. Not one person. Not a mate, not a child, not a grandchild, not a friendship. Only Jesus satisfies that in your heart. It's who you're looking for. We found him. One Sunday, I remember just opening the door and I said, we found what you've been looking for. And someone was walking down the street. That's all we're doing at this church. That's our buses. That's our addictions program. That's Sunday school. We found it. You don't have to look anymore. We found it. And last, the cross strengthens. He said, Pastor, I'm already saved, but it strengthens. He says, consider him who endured such contradiction for sinners. Here's the catch. Lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Pastor, how do we get through these crazy days in our country? And our country has gone absolutely, quote me on this, nuts. We're insane. God ought to judge this nation and burn us up. It's God's mercy. I don't know why he hadn't done it yet. I don't know why he hadn't come yet. We're on overtime. God is angry at the behavior of so many of our country and some of us. So how do you get through it? How do you make it if you're a single parent? How do you make it if you fell off the wagon? You were clean for years and then you messed up. How do you get back? You're going to have to get strength from that cross. Amen. It'll give you courage when you're ready to quit and weary. It was Carl Hatch. He said, I never stay discouraged more than 15 minutes. That's long enough to read the crucifixion story. If he could get through that, I can get through what I'm going through. And that encourages me. You think of Jesus on that cross dying for you. You can get back up. I close with this story. It's fast become one of my favorite stories. True story. I spoke years ago, I think it was in Pennsylvania. And at the end of speaking, a man said, let me tell you a story. It's when the great Lee Robertson had that big church in Chattanooga. He had baptized 65,000 people in 30 years. Great Lee Robertson. Great, great church. Big church. He used to have chapel services in outlying areas. They couldn't bring everybody to church, so they'd rent little buildings 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 miles away. And the preacher boys in his college would speak on weekends. And so on Monday morning, they would give their report to the student body. Tell us how the church service went. Did you sing a song? Did you teach a lesson? Did you preach? Did anyone get baptized? Anyone accept the Lord? What happened? So one of the preacher boys stood up and said, well, he said it was a small chapel, and I spoke. And at the end of the service, I said, come to the front if you'd like to accept the Lord in your heart. And a young man came toward the front, and I tried to speak to him, and it looked like he couldn't hear. I couldn't tell if he was mentally slow or deaf, and he couldn't speak either. And so somehow he came forward, and I just sat down. I dismissed everyone. I took 2 hours. I drew drawings. I showed him Bible verses. He could read. I could tell. And I drew, and then he wrote back. He said, after 2 hours, it looked like he accepted the Lord as his Savior. He gave that report to the student body. The semester ended. He never went back to that little chapel. That's all he knew. About 30 years later, he was a very polished, refined veteran pastor. He was speaking at a conference. He told that story. He said, folks, you may never know the results of what you're doing for the Lord. You may never know. For instance, I spoke, and this deaf, mute young man looked like he accepted the Lord. I think he did. That's all I know. Never heard anything else. He dismissed the service. After the service, a man came up and said, you want to hear the rest of the story? He said, what do you mean? About that deaf mute. He said, I didn't know there was a rest of the story. He said the guy's name was Brown. And they didn't critically call him this, but since he couldn't speak or hear, they called him Dumb Brown. He couldn't speak. He was deaf and dumb. And they used that word instead of mute back then. And so his name around the community was Dumb Brown. He said, well, what happened? He said, well, Dumb Brown owned a large piece of property on the interstate. Big highway. He cleared it all off after he got saved that Sunday. He built a huge cross about 50 feet high. A huge cross. And every day, all day, he would just stand next to the cross and point to it. People would honk their horns, they would wave. All day long, he just pointed to the cross. And the man looked at that veteran preacher and said, that was one of the greatest days in the history of our county when that young man gave his heart to Christ. And then 2 couples walked up and said, you know, we drove past Dumb Brown. We were Bible college students deciding, what are we going to do with our lives? We're studying at a Christian college, wondering, what should we do with our life? They drove by Dumb Brown, who was pointing at that cross. They pulled their cars back around. Both couples looked at each other and said, we ought to be doing that. We ought to spend our whole life just pointing people to the cross. Amen. Both couples in their car decided to become missionaries to Africa. They surrendered because they saw one man who was mute just pointing to a cross. That's what this church has got to do. Spend our life just pointing people to the cross. If we can get them to the cross, Jesus will do everything else. Maybe you're here today and you don't know the Lord as your Savior. If you died today, you're not 100% sure you'd go to heaven. You said, well, if God loves me. No. He already proved it. There's the cross. He already proved it and rose again. He wants to take you to heaven one day. If you're here today, you brought your motorcycle. You're on a ride. Enjoy it. But again, what good is it to take a ride if you never end up at the destination that really matters? If you don't know him, we'll introduce you to him today. Nothing strange, weird. He wants to come into your heart. Wants to forgive you, but it's your choice. He won't drag you to the cross. You've got to make a decision. I'm coming. You're going to have to humble yourself in your heart and say, I can't save myself. I believe he already died for me. Would you come into my heart? And it's just that easy. He'll save you today. You can leave this building knowing that cross was for me. And I'm going to heaven one day forever. If you've strayed away from the Lord, he says, hey, there's plenty of room. Come on back. No questions asked. Come on back. But you don't know. Hey, come on back. He loves you, period. Amen. May the cross change our life forever. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings upon this time.